Okay, so we're holding Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Also another famous Pasuk, Rachel Darchei Noyam, Bechol Nesivoseo Shalom. Okay, so the pathways of the Torah are pathways of ways of pleasantness, of sweetness, Bechol Nesivoseo Shalom, and all its... Again, we'll translate it pathways, and we'll see what we've seen a few times, the difference between Drachim and Nesivos, but all its pathways are those of peace. So we saw that the Derech is a large, like a very big road, okay? Whereas Nesivos are these small pathways that are more difficult to find, more difficult, let's say, to get onto. You have to know about them, or... That's generally how it's been discussed. Over here, it's going to be discussed a little bit differently. We'll see in a second in the Gro. Drachei darchei noyam, kloimar. Shedarkei Torah im drachim lavo lehanoyam. The ways of the Torah, the drachim of the Torah, are drachim to come to the pleasantness. Okay, to come to sweetness. I think, right, the Lechari, there may be two ways that you would be able to understand the words Darchei Noyam. Perhaps that the pathways themselves are Noyam, right? It's a Geshmaka road, it's an easy road, sweet road. Or it could mean a path that leads to something good, but not necessarily that the Derech itself.
Chazal uses for things like
right. So the pashtus of the Gros seems to be saying over here is that the right, at least the way he's mefarish, is that not necessarily that the drachim are themselves Noyam, but they bring to Noyam. The drachim that bring to come to Noyam. You want to get to Noyam, you want to get to a sweet and pleasant situation, a sweet and pleasant life. So take the drachim of the Torah, because that's what leads to there. Now, Lamaisa, the Gemara, like you said, the Gemara Sukkah, and a few other places, right, we find that, let's say, more entertains Hadas is Dufni. It says, no, that's poison. That's not Noyam. And the Gemara brings the Pasuk, Etchad Darchei Noyam. So, I mean, the Pashas of that Gemara, I think, is afraid that the drachim themselves, the mitzvahs themselves, are Noyam. And they can't, therefore, it can't be that the mitzvah will tell you to take a min, a type of adas, that is poisonous. Scab up the hand, scratch the hand, whatever different thing, that. We find that kind of usage more than one place in Chazal. So, Balamaisa, it could be, I mean, the passage from the Gemara, that's what the Gemara is darshaning it. Maybe the Gro is over here telling us that the Pasha Pshat. But maybe the Pasha Pshat is that not necessarily that the Drachim themselves, but that they lead to Noyam. Mashakosov, like it says, the Gro brings the Pasuk, Lachsis bin Noyam Hashem. To see, right, the sweetness, the pleasantness of Hashem. We're saying it in this period of time.
You would consider that to be the Pasha Pshat at Derechei Darchei Noyam. So generally, if I say Derechei, I'm going to tell you something about the Derech itself. This is not Betim telling me something about the Derech itself. It's just Derechei lead to some Derechei or Derechim that lead somewhere else. I think that's not the Pasha Pshat. And then when you read it, you automatically assume that the Racheha, its ways, or what about its ways? There's not anything about its ways.
It could be, I don't know. The truth is that I don't know if you could be Madaik in the Grove here, because, first of all, I mean, we know it's from Nachum Mendel Mishkov. I don't know how this was written, but he does begin the paragraph here, Kaloimar. Now, at least when it comes to Rashi, we know that Kaloimar is taking something out of Pasha Pshat. Right? That's a klal. I don't know if that klal would apply to the Gro, the Bira Gro on Mishlei. I don't know. I hear it could be. I don't know. It could be saying that the Gemara is working with the Pshat and the Gro is saying something deeper. Maybe. I don't know. Generally speaking, it seems that the Gro is trying to give the Pshat of the Psukim. So that's why I would think that it's that he's coming to give us the pshat. He's not doing, generally, see, he's not doing drush. So that's why I said it the way I said it. Lamaisa, this is a very very big yisoid. It sounds pashut. Drachei darchei noyam. Let's just read another line in the Gra. The Omar. Do we have the Ralbag over here? Oh, is the Ralbag in here?
Yeah.
I wanted to actually read something from the Ravag, possibly. But Omar Drachea, he said Drachea, the girl continues, its ways, Kloima, well, specifically the usage of Derech, Kloima Drachim Rechovim, the wide pathways, the big roads, She'ef Shalit Oisbem Klau, that you can't err in them at all. You can't make a mistake, you know, it's the high, the big roads. Those people who are learning Lishma, those are the drachim of the Noyim Elyon, of that like really superior and tremendous sweetness and pleasantness. So, in other words, if you're going, if you're learning Torah Lishma, so now that's the safe path. That's the big road where you can't really fall off of it. You're safe on that road, and you're going to get, if you learn Lishma, you're going to get to that Noyim Elyon. As opposed to the second part of the pasuk, the Chol Nesiva Yisrael Shalom, Nesiva Yis, he says, Ahilchem B'Nesiva Saktani, those who go in the small pathways, She'ef Shalitois V'Lasur Mehem, where it's possible to make an error and to turn off of them, you could go wrong there, Da'ainu, meaning, I learned him Shaloi Lishma, the people that are learning Shaloi Lishma, people learning Shalei Shema, you could easily kind of go wrong. Because Makkim, you learned the Volchim, can nevertheless.
I didn't go wrong
because you have ulterior motives. You have different negias in your learning.
That's fine. So that's the way. So you can go off that even.
Those are right. Those are more easily you can become. You can make mistakes. You can go wrong. So, but even those, he's saying, if you're going to learn like that, and you're going to go on those paths, those small pathways, which are, you know, not as easy, you'll be shalom. You're still going to be b'shalom. Right? You're still going to get to a matzav of peace. Like Chazal say, right? Chazal say over there that lo'ilam yasek shaloi lishma. That you should at least, you know, you should always learn. Yasek Adam Vatari Mitzafi Shalai Lishma, should we take Shalai Lishma, Balishma? Right? Even though it's Shalai Lishma, still, we take the, from learning Shalai Lishma, you will eventually come to the Lishma. We spoke about it last time, eventually come to the Lishma, or maybe in that learning itself, you come to the Lishma. But just begin Shalai Lishma, and you'll get some Lishma, you'll get to a Lishma. So, and like the pasuk says, "V'Hashem Yishalem Lach." That's the pasuk later on in Mishle, Chaf Hey, pasuk Chaf Beis. So the pasuk over there says, "Ki Gechalim Atach Chotel Rosho, V'Hashem Yishalem Lach." So it explains over there. Oh, so that you're going to be burning up coals if you learn Shalei Lishma. The Yetzer wants you not to learn at all. But if you learn Shalei Lishma, you force Yetzer, right? You kind of beat him out, and you're going to learn Shalei Lishma. So then you will be learning. You'll be burning coals on his head, meaning you're basically killing him out. But Hashem Yishalem Lach, and Hashem will pay you back.
Yitzhar is mashlim Yitzhar.
Huh? Yitzhar doesn't want you to learn at all.
Then
Chazal, the pasuk says Yishalem Lach, that he will pay you back. And Chazal come along and dash, and that's what the girl brings next. Va'amru al tikra v'chule. Chazal say over there in Sukkah, Al tikra yishalem loch el yashvli menu loch. Right? That Hashem will make your Yetzer whole with you. That he will turn from being your enemy that's trying to destroy you to love you and to try, you know, to flow with you. Your Yetzer Hara won't get in your way. The Yetzer Hara won't get in your way anymore. So if you forcibly take him to the Beis Medrash and learn, even though you're learning Shalei Lishma, that's the way to deal with that yetzer, and eventually that yetzer will go along with you. He won't put up such a fight anymore. He'll make peace with you. That's the way Chazal dash. So that's the shalom that this v'chol nesivei se'a shalom, right? Hashem will make it that you will get to a matzav of peace, of shalom with your yetzahara. Even if it's a nesivos, even if it's on those small paths of shaloi lishma, where it's not so gishmak, it's not such a smooth path, it's not so easy to walk on it, you can fall off, you can make mistakes, but if you do it, you force yourself, you're not holding there to learn lishma for whatever reason, and you force yourself to learn shaloi lishma, the Rebbeinu Shalom will bring you to a matzav of shalom with yetzahara, and you won't suffer so much, you won't. So both these things, Darchi Noyim and the Siva Seh Shalom, Maisa are very big yisoidus. One of the big problems that we have is that even from people, especially people that are not from, right? But even people that are from, look at the Torah and Torah mitzvahs very often as burdens. You know, they're limiting. We spoke about in the past that. They limit you. It's like they look at it as a rule book. You know, there's a do and don't do's, and the don't do's are annoying, and the do's are annoying, and you know, Rav Ben Shalom stand there waiting to get you. It's the way that you know, Yemadin is waiting to get you. He's gonna. That's a very not gishmak way to learn. It's also wrong. Right? It's also wrong to look at the Torah in that way. And that's what we have every single day in the. The davening, Birkas Kriyas Shema, by Maariv, right? We have Nismach B'Divrei Sarisecha, Sarisecha, right? That's what the Sarisecha said. Ki heim chayenu, v'erichimenu, u'vahem nege yomavayu, avoscha al tosim mimenu lo'ilamin. So we say that we're going to be happy in Torah and Mitzvahs, right? Because they are our lives. They're the length of our days, they're the essence of our life. And then we end off that bracha, and your love don't remove from us. Your love don't remove from us. In other words, we recognize that the Torah is gishmak. The Torah and keeping mitzvahs is gishmak. And it stems from the love of the Rebbeinu Shalom, not because he's trying out to get us. Not because, you know, he's that scary king or the Ishmael Chama is looking to battle us and to punish us, chas v'shalom. But the Torah mitzvahs is something which is beautiful, something which is going to give us, like the Pasuk here says, Darchi Noyim, it's going to bring us to the best life possible. It's going to bring us to the best, the sweetest life possible. Both in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And that stems from the Av of the Rebbeinu Shalom.
How come people get mixed up with Tzokhiyom?
Oh, that's a good question. So we'll talk about that in a second. So the other thing to take note of is also in Shemoneh Esrei. We say, we spoke about this last night in a different shiur. We say, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seirasecha, V'Karaveinu Malkeinu L'Avodasecha. In other words, there's two Bechinas, which we're going to say daily, during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. And there's two separate relationships that we have with the Rebbeinu Shalom, which both are necessary. The relationship that we are the children to our Father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, of course, is more one of closeness. That's a relationship of closeness. Where we kind of feel that ahava, that deep connection with the Rebbeinu Shalom, like a father feels with a son. And then you have a different connection, which is the one of the Melech, which is a distant relationship. The Melech, you know, stands above. The Melech is the one that tells you what you have to do, gives you the laws, the rules, and you have to keep them because you better keep them. You better, you know, otherwise you're in for it. And if you are on the Melech's good side, so he'll do good for you. It's worth it. So those are two separate types of relationships. But the Maisa, when we daven for Hashiveinu, the bracha of Tshuva, right? So we have Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seirasecha, V'Karveinu Malkeinu L'Avodasecha. The kinui, the expression that we use, asking Hashem to bring us closer to the Yur Torah, is one of Abba, a father. Like you go to your father and you ask him for everything you want. You ask him for, you know, out his love. Right? Show me your love. You know, shower me with your love. And shower me with your love by the Rebbeinu Shalom is Torah Secha, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seirasecha. Bring us back to your Torah. And we're going to him with that expression of love of the Father. The second part, which is v'kaveinu malkeinu v'disecha, bring us closer to avoida v'lavoida, right? You serve a king. So that's, you turn to him as king and say, bring us closer to your avoida. But those are two separate things. But you see that the Torah is stemming from that relationship of love that we have, that the Rebbeinu Shalom has for us. And that's why avoscha al toser mimenu. Don't take away that Torah. Don't take away that love. The biggest expression of Rebbeinu Shalom's love for us is the Torah. Where do people go wrong? Right? How does it come so backwards that what is so beautiful, what is so gishmak, and what brings to such a happiness by a person, how could it be looked at in the total opposite light, as something demanding, distressing, you know, limiting, dark? How does that happen? So obviously, it has to do with, specifically today already, we're talking about after 2,000 years almost of Golos. There's a Hester Ponet, right? Now we're clearly in the Tkuf of Hester Aster Ponet. It's a tremendous darkness within darkness, concealment. So that what happens is that the whole vision of people gets confused. And because we have a guf and a neshama, so it's all a matter of the way you look at something. Right? If you're wearing the glasses of the guf, so you see things only in a very bodily way, you don't see the full picture. If you see things if you're looking with the eyes of the neshama, which really includes the guf, but the neshama is like standing on top, you know, like the Mrs. Sharm's mashal of the maze, right? The king's maze, where you have to go through this garden of which is a maze, and you don't know how to go through it, so you'll bump into here, you bump in, you can't get out. But if you have the guy on top, he sees exactly the path, and he could guide you out of there very simply. So the neshama really has that vision. The neshama sees the body as a part of it. The body is a vessel for it. And the neshama wants what's good for the body as well as for itself. So if you have those glasses, you're able to appreciate the whole picture. But what basically happens is, if you're wearing the glasses of physicality, right? So you think, you basically see only what's in front of your face. And you think that, oh, if I have that money, and if I have that, I'm going to be more comfortable. If I have that food, I'm going to, it's going to be tasty, it's going to be schmack, I'll be, whatever your cheshbon is, if I have that woman as a wife, right? She might, Rachmanel Etzlan, not be Jewish, right? Oh, that's, she's perfect personality, perfect looks and everything. That's, all these things are very, very short-sighted, because at the end of the day, I think we mentioned this in the past, the nekudas ha'anah, the nekuda of pleasure in a person is a spiritual thing. Even the physical pleasures are all, the pleasure itself is stemming from the nekudas ha'lakus, that the godliness, the nitzitz of kedusha, the godliness that's in the person. Because, for example, if you take out the neshama, the body is dead, has no pleasure whatsoever. There's no pleasure there. If you take away the neshama.
You also want to have
kas. Yeah, right. So you don't have anything. You don't have any feeling. So that means that ultimately the pleasure itself is always stemming from like the pasuk says by food. Like the Arizal points out, ki lo yal alechem levado yichi adam ki al kol moitz afi Hashem yichi adam. It's not the bread itself. It's not the physical bread that you're living off of. It's the moitz afi Hashem. It's that nitzitz of Hashem ki v'yachol that's inside the food. That spirituality that's inside the food that is giving the body life, that's allowing the body to live. That's the battery. The battery is the neshama. And the pleasure is also all. The problem is that if somebody takes pleasure in a forbidden way, so he's not getting hanah. He's getting hanah, right? From that. The hanah itself is the spiritual. But instead of tapping into their spirituality, it's actually seeking him down more into the physicality. He's getting caught. In other words, I like the Reb Chaim, Kanievsky in one of his Sfarim. He relates to the famous thing, right? As I'll say that Zaysim, Haragu Bezaysim, if you're if you used to having, the question is, what's the shir? Reb Chaim Kanevsky says it's one in 30 days.
One
in different chazals. I know one time. You have zaysim once every 30 days, you're okay. But more than that, it's rogil. So it's kasha l'shicha, right? It brings forgetfulness. So there's a school of which actually I remember I saw Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld actually writes or told Salmos Chaim, I think it is, that if you have the, and a lot of people do this, if you have the olives inside of olive oil together with olive oil, then it's fine. Why? Because olive oil, Chazal said, is Moisif Chachma. So it's going to be, it battles out the Shikha, like, you know, it canceling it out with the, it balances it out. You can't, you know, you're balancing out the problem by doing it, by having the olives themselves in the olive oil. Comes on, Chaim Kanievsky says, no, it's not a good answer. Why? Because some people are more prone to forget than others. And some people might be more prone to remembering and to chachma. So wherever, if you're weak in Shikha, when you have those olives, they're going to affect you more negatively than the positive effect of the shemen. So that the positive effect of the shemen is going to become bottle to the negative effect of the olives. And the guy who's got a better memory by nature, okay, so for him, and a bigger chachma by nature, so by him the olive oil is going to affect him, and it's going to outweigh, and by him it'll work, by him it'll outweigh the effect of the, but how do you know where you're holding, you know, where, you don't know how much of this and how much of that, like, you're playing with fire already. So Reb Chaim says, don't be saying mechan this skula. So the same thing over here, al derech zeh, I'm saying, when a person is, let's say he has something that's not kosher, and he might have, oh, it's a, what a geshmak, it tastes so delicious, right? And that geshmak, that geshmak is coming from that nitzos that's inside of even Isser. There's like, because v'ata mechaya is kulam, the Rabbeinu Shalom is being mechaya everything, so everything has a shtik chiyus coming from the Rabbeinu Shalom, a bit of Hashem in it, kibiyachoyu, that's giving it that geshmak, that's giving it the koyach to give you energy, that's giving it the taste that had, but you're not going to tap into that, you're not going to get the spirituality out of it, because the klipa that's around it, the physicality that's around it, is of such strength that's going to completely overpower any spirituality that's inside, any spark of spirituality that's inside it. So that all that's going to do is going to bring you down more into physicality. And the more you sink into physicality, the more depressed you get. Because that's actually the fundamental aspect of physicality is the yisoid of afar, the yisoid of dirt, right? Out of the four yisoidis, right? The eish, mayim, ruach, and afar. So afar is the defining characteristic of the physical. It's weighted down. And weighted down means also in the nefesh, it weights down. We know that the atzlos, we know that atzlos are all rooted in the yisoid of afar. Sadness, depression, laziness is all rooted in that. So the more that a person partakes in these physical pleasures in a forbidden way, those negative effects of physicality are what have the effect on him, and there is no effect. He doesn't tap in. He can't tap into the spirituality in there to get the fragment of spirituality. You only get that like physical pleasure of the spirituality, which is ultimately garnished. It's gonna affect you negatively. So what did you gain? In any case, so basically what happened is that people end up wearing a very, very warped glasses, you know, making things look completely distorted, and they therefore don't see the Nayam that the Torah brings to their hashkafas become, right, they're affected, they become affected by the Goyish hashkafa. They look at things, right, they look at the halachas of Tznius, and instead of seeing the beauty of Tznius, they're going to only see it as something which is, you know, difficult, which is, it's so ludicrous, right? They get, there's a whole tumult in the Welt, right? Women being treated as objects. And you know, you have the whole, of course women are being treated as objects, because you are against this. So you'll put the woman next to the car in order to buy the car, right? Oh, but now she's being treated badly. Okay, so and then they have Tanis on us that you're treating the women badly because you're not letting them be put next to a car, right? You're hiding them. You're not speaking to them. You're right. We're not speaking to them because Adrabba, because the Torah knows very well of the psychological makeup of a man, right, and a woman. So he knows that these relationships, right, are not going to lead to a good place. And then and the taivas of a man are liable to overtake him, and he's liable to, right, come to Isser. So the Torah puts up those guards that we shouldn't end up looking at women, because if you don't look at them, you know, then you'll keep them safe. You'll keep them safe, and you'll keep them in a chashivas. You'll keep them, right, the dugma balma, right, the kodesh hakodashim. We weren't allowed to look into it either. The oren, something that's chashiv, something that's important. You keep away from the eyes of people. That shows its chashivas. Yeah, you have this special diamond. You keep it in a safe. It's not stemming from right. It's not stemming from a negativity and towards and looking at women in a low way. Adrabba, it comes completely from looking at them as a basamelech, as the princess who's supposed to be kept in a special fashion that only for her husband, you know, the beauty is only for the husband, and then and for the family, the and it's all, so everything has these guidelines which keep everything in the most pure way, right? Where a guy and a girl will go out, shidduchim, whatever it is, right? So they'll focus on the ikar and yadim, not on the outers, right? Whereas outside, it's all about the attraction, and it's all about the, let's see how our personalities fit. You know, you take personalities. I don't know the numbers, but personality-wise, you can fit with a lot of people. Doesn't mean anything. Personality is it does mean something. It's not nothing, right? But it's certainly not the ikker. It's the second round of maybe of importance. First, you have to know you're on the same page. You can't imagine. I mean, the things that you hear, like I've heard, you know, couples that like I mean, forget about it. Today you have this Meshagas, which has gotten very big in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. There's certain people that are so proud to speak about, yeah, we have these mixed marriages. It's such a wonderful thing that a religious person marries a non-religious person. You know, he is this way, she's that way, and they get along. They have great marriages and wonderful marriages, and they have whole communities that are like stress, this type of thing. Now you like wonder yourself, like, wow, okay. So obviously religion is not, clearly is not such a big issue there, right? It's not the main focus of their life, right? But so what are the kids like?
He should have menaced before.
What are the kids supposed to? What are they supposed to write? Or you have somebody that's great. He's a real right winger, and she's a real leftist. You know, so it's great. They like. So what does that mean? It means that your goals in life, your values, your morals are very, very different, right? So what's the connection based on? Chitzonis. It's based on superficiality. It's based on the unimportant things. What's the personality? Yeah, we get along great together, and almost always these things down the line don't work out the way they think it's going to work out in the beginning. You know, because the ikar of life are the morals and the values that a person has, and if those aren't on board, if you have different ways of looking at things, it's finished. But basically, what I'm saying is that the veldt has gotten completely crooked in the way to evaluate things, and the ability to see what's real and what's not real, what's going to bring what's real happiness, what's going to bring to true happiness, what's not going to bring to true happiness. But Baruch Hashem, we have the Torah, and the Torah is given to us by the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's step one. Enechanami, if you don't believe Torah min Hashemayim, you're a goner. But if we believe Torah min Hashemayim, and we certainly know many, right? Anybody that learns Torah, really, it's like lives Torah, can actually sense it, doesn't need any rice whatsoever, but there's plenty of rice out there. But without rice, but if the Rabbeinu Shalom made us, he certainly knows how this machine works. and what brings this machine happiness, and what won't bring the machine happiness. And he gave us the operation manual, and that manual obviously is in order to have the whole reason that Baruch Hashem created the world is not, doesn't need our avodah. Was lehetiv, to bestow goodness upon us. So the Torah itself is the biggest hatava possible, and all the teitzos that outcomes from our keeping Torah mitzvahs are all part of the hatava of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So clearly, Drachei Darchei Noyam is something which we always keep in focus and be aware of. And once you shift that focus, once you realize that the Torah is something good for you, you're able to tap into it. It's a matter of attitude. If you come to it with an attitude of negativity, you'll see everything in a negative way. The same thing like anything in life. But if you're going to be open to the fact that, no, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave me this because of his ahava to me, and you keep that focus, you'll start to see, wow, this is really gishmak, this really saves it. This, yeah. The guidelines are not guidelines. Yeah, the guidelines are they're not laws. The guidelines are guidelines to how to get the most out of my life. Okay. Why by Torah is it Hashiveinu and by... I don't know. I have to think about it. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Okay. See what's on the table. Oh, we'll have to do the Rabag maybe next time.